Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Please continue to remember, the 1st through the 30th of this month of April is our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and our goal is $1,500, so still have time to give to that. There are envelopes in the pews, or if you write a check or something, just make it to Wigan Baptist Church, but just designate it to Annie Armstrong. We will be collecting items for the children's home April the 26th through May the 10th. Items that can be donated are laundry detergent, tomato sauce, tomato paste, scallop potatoes, mashed potatoes, ranch dressing, gift cards from Walmart. Don't forget, tonight after the evening service, there will be a baby shower for Josh and Ariel. Please bring finger foods. They are registered at Amazon. Please make note of this. Wednesday, April the 29th at 8 a.m., there will be a community prayer service for rain at Wigan Methodist Church. For all that can attend, I would encourage you at 8 o'clock, just meet at the Methodist Church, right, Brother Tim?
In
the fellowship hall at the Methodist Church for a period of a prayer, a community prayer service for rain. Thursday, April the 30th at 7 p.m., this is this Thursday, Standing in the Gap men's meeting here at the church. Do not forget, Tuesday, May the 5th, 6:30 p.m., Titus 2 women's meeting. Guest speaker is Michelle Cope with Yellow Elephant Ministry. The men of the church will be serving the meal. So we'll keep reminding every time we meet, we'll keep reminding the men of the church, myself included, that we will be serving. So please mark your calendars, ladies and men. Also, do not forget, next Sunday, it's hard to believe, but next Sunday, and I didn't get this in the bulletin, but next Sunday is first Sunday, so we'll have our breakfast at 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall here before Sunday school. Also, Wednesday, May the 6th at 6:30 p.m. will be our fellowship meal, and then we'll have church conference after that. Also, would like to remind you, items for the firefighters in Clinch and Eccles County, those items are due today. Ibuprofen, eye drops, individual wrapped cookies, bottled water, Gatorade, chapstick, beef jerky, baby wipes. So please, have them here tonight if you can, so we can get those delivered. We had 29 in Sunday school this morning. Any other announcements? Wow. Birthdays. I've heard that, but I'm going to wait and see if somebody at thank you, Beverly. I'll let someone. Sissy's over here. Any other? Happy birthday, Sissy. Any other birthdays?
Seems like some of we've already sang happy birthday. Did somebody sing happy birthday?
You sang happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sissy.
All right, let's all sing happy birthday to Sissy. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do come to this time in our worship service as we open up our worship service with a time of prayer, Lord. And Lord, there are many things we do need to pray for, Lord, and pray about. We do this on Wednesday nights, Lord, but Lord, we just want to lift up the weather to you, Lord, as we continually do. Lord, we know you're in control, Lord, but this area, along with other areas, we need rain, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, we know that you will provide it, Lord, in the coming days, Lord. Lord, but we do just want to pray for this service specifically this morning, Lord. We gather here today, Lord, as a church family, Lord, for one reason, and that's to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, we do that through our singing. We do that through our giving, Lord. But also through Brother Tim's preaching, Lord, as the Holy Spirit leads him to teach and preach us, Lord, what God's Word says, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we just don't fall, it just doesn't fall on deaf ears, Lord, that we are attentive, Lord, that we listen to what God has to say this morning through Brother Tim, Lord. And Lord, that we not only listen, Lord, but that we obey it, Lord. As I read recently, Lord, we are to listen to God's Word, Lord, but when we leave here also, Lord, we are to speak God's Word throughout the week, Lord, and we do that by witnessing and telling people about Jesus, Lord. So let us not only be hearers of the Word, but let us be doers of it also. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
If you can, let's stand this morning as we sing Majesty.
I see my father.
it's on the screen, I usually sing it, but I couldn't sing what was up there with the chorus, so I did from memory, but you know what? It's all good. We're worshiping the Lord. All right, our offertory hymn this morning is Trust and Obey, hymn 447.
Thank you. in this place. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. Moving right along through the book of Joshua. Last week we kind of went wide open Sunday morning, Sunday night, and got through about 10 chapters in one day. And so, but we come to chapter 20. God had instructions, and he wanted his instructions followed for a reason. And it's called, my voice cuts out today, I don't know why. But anyhow, God had a plan and purpose for this, what we're going to read in chapter 20. And you'll find out real quick, it is about the cities of refuge. God had instituted, wanted Israel to set up these cities for a reason. Let me just ask, has anybody here ever felt guilty? Come on, raise your hand. Have you ever felt guilty? Now, did you feel guilty because it was something you did? Sometimes we feel guilty though for things somebody else does. And they push their guilt upon us. The whole purpose for the cities of refuge was so that, let's just say you're out there plowing a field and you got somebody helping you, and somehow they get caught up in the machinery and their death is caused accidentally. God had made a place for people to go. And as we see in this passage, we're gonna try my best to show how these cities of refuge were a type of Christ, okay? I'm not saying they were the person of Christ, but I want us to show how these two come together. And so as we look at this, I want us to realize that God had a plan and purpose for this. If somebody died and it was caused by you, but it was an accident, or, in other words, it was not premeditated. You know, this was a place people could run to. But I want us to think about this also, that this isn't just a place, everybody needs to go to the city of refuge, as we'll see. But this church should be a city of refuge. It should be, let's just get into it. We'll read it, and then we'll just jump right in. We'll get there later. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 1. It says, the Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person, what's the next word? Accidentally or unintentionally, may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he flees to one of these cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor, what's the next word, unintentionally, but did not hate him before him. And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who was high priest in those days. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. So they appointed Kadesh and Galilee in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho east, where they assigned Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel. Listen to these words. Pointed to the children of Israel for the stranger who dwelt among them, that whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read this chapter. Lord, I pray that you would just give us insight, give us wisdom into your word. Lord, to realize, Lord, that you value life. You created it. You sustain it. And Lord, as we study this passage and other passages related to it this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just use your word to speak to our hearts. Lord, to encourage those who have already fled to the city of refuge to fled to you, Lord, for mercy and grace. But Lord, also to challenge others who have not come to you, Lord, to come, not to wait, not to delay their coming. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we looked last week and last Sunday night, like I say, we covered a lot of ground. But we saw that the nation of Israel was, the land was being divided up in the promised land. Each tribe had gotten their possessions. But as they were moving forward, God said, listen, matter of fact, God had told Moses this before, and I'll give you the reference for that this month. But God had told Moses what to do, that he wanted these cities set up throughout the land. And so they could have a place where if a death occurred unintentionally, accidentally, then a person could flee to these cities to find protection. You know, a lot of the original laws that were created in the United States were based on Moses' law, God's law, right? And this is one of here. We always hear the words innocent until what? Proven guilty. This was a case to where you could have your side of the story told. They would come to this city of refuge and stand in the gate, and the elders, everybody would come together and hear what happened, what their side of the story was. They would check it out, right? They would check out, see if you were telling the truth or not, if it was premeditated or accidental. And then that person would, if it was unintentional, that person would come and live inside that city. But if they were guilty, guess what? They were handed over to the avenger of blood. And so we'll look at this and see. Chapter 20 is about life and death. God has so ordained life, values it so much, that early on, even in Genesis, God told Moses in Genesis chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. I don't have it on, I'm sorry. He told me if somebody caused the death of somebody else, their life was to be taken. It would be a whole lot different in the United States today if when somebody was convicted of murder, instead of spending 40 years on death row, that it was dealt with quickly. I understand the process, and I surely would never want to have somebody put to death when they were not given. But there was a time and place for that. And God said, listen, if you take the life of another, your blood is to be shed. How was that determined? Well, even in this passage If you go on down, you realize that God's saying this, and this is a difference between premeditated, right, which is murder. Murder's premeditated. If you lie in wait for somebody, you ambush them, your intent, your anger is to kill them, then your blood was to be required. That was a payment. If it was accidental, though, there was mercy. There was grace. But let's flip this on the other side, because I believe God believes in the sanctity of human life. How much do you have to hate a baby than to go have an abortion? It's premeditated murder, right? You went, you paid, or even if it's covered by taxpayer funds or whatever, Planned Parenthood, it doesn't matter. You went, you knew what the process was, and you chose to take the life of somebody innocent. In God's eyes, that person's blood was required of them. If you shed blood purposefully, your life was required. You see, these cities of refuge were important because as we see these cities, we realize that God is a God of justice. He is a law. He is a God of law and order. These people were inheriting a land. They didn't have local police stations, right? They didn't have the sheriff's stations or sheriff's office. They didn't have the FBI, Homeland Security, CIA, ICE. They didn't have all these things. These people were to be governed by God Himself. Yes, there were laws set up. But in the midst of those laws, we see that God had a place, even in the midst of His laws, that said, listen, this is a place you can not just walk to, you need to run to it, okay? You need to run to it. Thank you, Brother Tim, for that. I just realized what you were doing there, God. Thank you. So we see here the importance of this. In Numbers chapter 35, we're not going to read here, it's just for your reference. Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 34. This is what it basically says. I just kind of boiled it down for the sake of time. Anybody who killed another person could flee to the city of refuge and be protected from the avenger of blood. Let's think this right here. What is the avenger of blood? The avenger of blood was somebody who was the closest male kin to the person who was murdered. By God's law, that was the one who, if you want to say it this way, flipped the switch, pulled the trigger, or injected, right? That they were the ones who had the responsibility to end the life of the person who ended the life of the person that they were related to. They were the avenger of blood. But this person could flee to this city until his case could be heard and investigated and found out, was this premeditated? Was it murder? Or was it accidental? What was it, something that just happened because of carelessness or unintended consequences? But this person had a place to come and hear their case heard, to say, listen, this is what happened, he died, I tried to save him, but I couldn't. All these things could be presented before this council, if you want to call them that. They heard what the evidence was, maybe they went and checked it out. But when there was a determination made on whether it was premeditated or accidental, then person, if they were found to have killed somebody accidentally or unintentionally, they could come to this city and be welcomed into it. I want us to think about this, these cities, as our artist stated, about who Christ is and how we can see the parallels between the cities and who Christ is today, who he is for us, and why it even it matters, why it matters. We must understand, though, the mercy and grace of God. There was a sentence to be passed. There was a judgment to be had. There was a case that needed to be heard, and it was heard. And when it was determined this person was not intended on killing somebody, this was a place they could run to. Now, you say, well, what has this got to do with me, Brother Tim, because I've never killed anybody. I'm fixing to get you. Jesus said this, if you've ever hated somebody in your heart, you have committed what? I'm going to tell you, I don't care how good a person you are, there has been a time in our lives where we've thought about doing harm to somebody. Right? Come on, we're in church. God already knows the answer. We have murdered somebody in our hearts. Maybe not physically, but the point is this. Because the Bible says that we have all sinned and what? Fallen short of the glory of Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We all have a death sentence on us. Right? We all have a death sentence on us. Our case has been heard, right? Satan's the accuser. He stands before God all the time accusing you and me of every sin we do. And guess what? Satan's not telling lies. He's telling the truth. We are sinners, and we need somebody to be our city of refuge, that somebody we can run to and find what the city of refuge represents for us today. I think there's five provisions that the city of refuge gives to us. The first one is a place of safety. When you look at these cities of refuge, we see that protection is offered for the guilty offender. Isn't that what Jesus is? He's the place. He's the person that we can run to and find safety. When a person entered the city, they would be protected from the judgment that the sin deserved. The guilty one was saved or delivered, if you want to say that. Now, here again, this is for a person who didn't mean to kill somebody, but it happened. They could run to this city. Legal protection was guaranteed. That person could not be dragged away by a vigilante mob. The case had to be heard, had to be presented, had to be investigated, and then determined whether it was murder or whether it was manslaughter. The fact is, once a person was determined to have committed this manslaughter, they could then enter the city as one of its residents. You and I cannot enter the city of refuge on our own. We need somebody, and that Jesus Christ, to bring us salvation, to deliver us from our sins. And that's exactly what he did. When a person who committed manslaughter, accidentally murdered somebody, they would be brought into the city, and that was their residence until the high priest passed away. They lived in that city until however long the high priest lived. Might be 2 years, might be 20 years, might be 40 years, right? It just all depended on how long the high priest lived. But Hebrews chapters 4 and 5, I don't have a reference for those, but Hebrews chapters 4 and 5 tell us that we have a high priest in Jesus Christ who lives for how long? forever. So when we come to the City of Refuge, when we come to Jesus Christ, we have a high priest that we never have to worry about now. He is one we're safe in forever and ever. Protection was guaranteed. I mentioned this already, but we are all born with guilt. Why is that? Because we are all born in sin. Through Adam, we've all been passed down through him, by him, a sin nature. Now, we're not guilty because we received a sin nature. We are guilty because we have all reached the age of accountability. Most of us have reached the age of accountability to where we have clearly on our own chosen to sin against a holy, righteous God. And because of that, we are guilty. We are sinners who need a Savior. Jesus is the one who offers to save us from our sin and the punishment of our sins. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door." Aren't you glad he's the door? "If anyone desires, or if anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And will go out, go in and out, find pasture." John 14:6, I think that's the next verse I had up there. Oh, yeah, 14 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the only one. He's the only way that we can find safety and refuge from everything going on in our lives. The second provision that God gives to us through the cities of refuge and the nation of Israel was accessibility. There was three of these cities on the west, three of these cities on the right, and they were strategically placed throughout the nation so that any person on usually a one day's journey could get there. You didn't have to wait to find safety. You didn't have to wait to have somebody hear out your case. A person who was being hunted down by the Avenger of Blood needed to be able to get somewhere quickly. Wasn't supposed to walk you, they were supposed to run. Get there as quickly and as soon as possible. They say that every spring, the cities, the roads to the cities of refuge would be cleared off. The ravines would have bridges built over them. Where every intersection came along, there were signs that were placed to point to the City of Refuge so that anybody, anywhere, anytime who needed to find safety and accessibility to the cities of refuge could get there. Isn't that what Jesus did? We just read, "I am the way, the truth, and life." That's the sign, right? He's saying, "I'm the door, come to me." He's saying, "Listen, you know, I've provided everything you need, just come to me." In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?" Rest means safety too, because you can't rest if you're not safe, right? "Find rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus said, "Listen. Come to me with your problems. Come to me with your troubles. Come to me with your trials. And this is a place where you can find rest and you can find safety." The cities of refuge, the gates were to never be locked. They were to never be locked. Could you imagine spending all day running to one of these cities and when you got there, the gates locked? Couldn't get in. That would spell disaster. Because the Avenger of Blood's hot on your trail. He's coming at you. Satan wants to kill, to steal, and to what? Destroy you. That's his mission. That's his goal. And in Christ, we see that, hey, we can come in anytime, anywhere. He's openly accessible. There's no combination lock on the door. You've got to come somehow, jump through all these hoops and do all these things and give this much and look this good so you can find your way in. No, the doors are always open. And that is true with Jesus as well. We can come to him anytime, any place. We'll find rest. We'll find safety. The third provision we find in the cities of refuge is that these cities were open to everyone. They were open to everyone. As we read through Joshua chapter 20, it said, listen, to the Jew and to the who? Gentile. Who are Gentiles? Is anybody full-blooded Jew in here? We're Gentiles. We are the ones who were without the promises of God, right? We were the ones without the covenant of God. But in Christ Jesus, he has made both one. He has brought us together so that anybody, doesn't matter who you're from, where you're from, who you're kin to, amen? It doesn't matter how much money's in your bank or you don't have in the bank. Anybody, anytime, anywhere could come to him. A universal code. There was no special rights for one group of people. Instead, whether it was a Jewish man who was wandering through the promised land and something happened, or whether it was a stranger, a foreigner, an alien who was not an actual alien from outer space, I mean, just somebody from a different country, wandering through and accidentally hurt somebody, kill somebody, they could run to this city of refuge. Everybody had the same opportunity. In Proverbs 18, verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in, run to it, and are safe. You see, we found our safety in Christ. We found our righteousness in him. And when we run to him, we realize that we can be safe as well. We can be secure in who we are. And that's from our fourth point this morning. There's the provision of security. Protection, listen to me, protection was not guaranteed if you were outside the city walls. Just like if you are not in Christ, you have no protection. Right? You have no protection if you are outside of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, you're outside. That there's no security for you. You had to be in the city. There was no protection if you came into the city and then left. Once you walked out that door, you were wide open. You know, you could be had by the Avenger of Blood. In the same way, in security, we have.
Hey, this fell apart.
I'll out loud. Give me just a second. But let's change it over. I'll try to stay. Thank you. Sorry. This is secure. The person had to stay in the city in order to be saved. Protection was not guaranteed if you left. If you were hanging around on the outside of the gates, there was no protection for you. Being close did not count. Being close did not count. Jesus warned, and I don't have this up. See, I gotta stay here. That's hard for me to do. Jesus said this, and someone comes to him one time and asked him, and I'm paraphrasing on, you know, how do I get to the kingdom of heaven and all this, and they gave him the lid, and he said, you're not very far from the kingdom of God, but can I tell you, if you're outside the door, it don't matter if you're leaning up against the door, you're still on the outside trying to get in, or thinking you're in, and you're not. But in this, we find no security outside of the city walls. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You can't find security in Allah. You can't find security in Buddhism, Confucianism, because they're always confused, right? You cannot find your salvation, you cannot find your security, you cannot find your place of rest and safety outside of Jesus Christ and Him alone. But if we don't flee to the city of refuge that God has provided in His Son Jesus Christ, then there's no asylum for us. There's no asylum. There's no other place we can go to find rest, that we can find salvation. It is in Christ and Christ alone. The fifth provision that God gives to us in these cities and parallels, we can draw to Christ. As I said earlier, the gates were never to be locked. They were always open. So a person, here again, they didn't have to worry about not being able to get in. If they were waiting to get in, if the city was closed, when I was a kid, you know, used to, after Saturday afternoon, it's like they rolled up the city sidewalks and shut down all the stores, and y'all probably can remember times like that as well. But things are different now. But think about this here again. Think about you spend all your time, all your resources trying to get to this one city to find safety. And it was closed down. 5 o'clock Friday, right? Everything done. City sidewalk rolled up Saturday afternoon. Everything shut down. Can't find a place. But listen, waiting around on the outside of the gates, not being able to get into the city, could have spelled disaster for the person who's fleeing for mercy and for grace. It's the same way for us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul writes, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You can't put off tomorrow because Satan is after you. You can't put off until tomorrow because you don't know what the rest of today holds. You cannot wait around on the outside of the gates and somehow think that you're going to knock on heaven's door and say, let me in. And he's going to say, who are you? Where did you come from? I don't know you. See, cities of refuge can be seen as types of Christ. When a person, a sinner, runs from the destroyer of our souls and runs to the city of refuge, we can find help in Christ. We can find safety. We can find security. We can find protection. This is what Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says. It says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Now, let's stop right there and just, this wasn't in my notes, but we're going to talk about it. It's impossible for God to lie. So if God says that if you believe in my Son, Jesus Christ, you will be what? Saved, right? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, and He says, if I do that, I will be saved, God is not going to lie. He is going to save me. He's going to save you. But this one, it says, by two evil things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. What does consolation mean? Hope, security, safety, all those things, peace, comfort. Who have fled for what?
Refuge.
Fled for refuge. Fled to that city. Fled to Jesus Christ to find our consolation. To lay hold of the hope set before us. The only hope we have is hope in Christ and Christ alone. Have you fled to that city of refuge? Have you fled to Jesus Christ as your only hope? Have you fled to Him to find grace and mercy? Have you thrown yourself at His feet and said, Lord, save me? I know I'm guilty. I know I'm a sinner. I know that the destroyer of my soul, my life, my family, my church, my community, my nation, I know He is after me. He's like a dog on the heels of a deer. He is wide open trying to catch you. But so many of us, we want to say, I just want to stay this close to say that I'm in. Can I encourage you today, don't be found outside. Don't be the one who has to knock on the door. Enter in while you can. Enter before it is too late. I said in my opening, I wanted to bring this to the church as well. This church needs to be a city of refuge. It needs to be a place where people can come. We should be a hospital. Because there are people who are broken. There are people who are destitute. They're dying. Sometimes, as believers, we want to lock the doors. We want to keep them out. They're different. They don't live like us. They don't walk like us. They don't talk like us. So what? God says, whoever believes in Him, whoever. To me, that means no matter what color, what country, what language, you know what, I can't. None of that matters, God. I said, whosoever. Whoever will believe in me. We should be a city of refuge that not just once a year, but every week. We rebuild bridges that have gotten knocked down. We repair the roads that are too hard to travel. We put up signs that say, you're welcome anytime to come to the city of refuge, to come to find safety in Christ. This is where you can find hope. This is where you can find peace. This is where you can find safety. This is where you can find Christ. That should be our mission. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into our time of invitation, Lord, for the one who's on the outside looking in, Lord, I believe you've spoken to their hearts this morning. They know it too. I pray, God, that you would just help them to have the strength. Come to you to find hope, to find safety, to find security, to find protection, to find, Lord, that you are a God who loves all of us. But Lord, help us not to keep waiting around. Lord, help us to make that determination today to come under the grace and mercy that you offer to us through your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us be a church who's loving and compassionate. who's wanting others to come in, no matter who they are or where they come from. Lord, have your way as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name.